cliffcentral.com.
Is this thing on? You're listening to The Bounce Show. It's live. Well, not this bit, but it's live on clivecentral.com.
It's Cliff Central, Blatt.
Sorry, scrap that, delete it. Cliffcentral.com.
Good morning.
People, are you ready? Let's start the show.
Or good day if you're listening on the podcast.
Don't worry about the present day.
It's December. Yep, no matter what you think of 2016, you've got to the point where everything is just going to be okay from here on in.
Calling out to all area group, we gon' make this shit happen right here, right now. Calling out to all area group, we gon' make this shit happen right here, right now. I wanna welcome.
December, which means most of the big important sport is kind of finished, but we still got so much football. There's still a fair amount of rugby as far as sevens are concerned. I mean, last weekend, wow, top story for the week. There's still cricket. Getting back to that, Cape Town sevens this weekend. There's still cricket on the go. There's still a little bit of golf, so there's still a Bounce Show, which is just jam-packed full of sport. I was going to start the review shows as of this week, but there was an interview that I couldn't quite get in time, because what I want to do is I want to start with rugby and get that fumed out of the way, and then I want a review show of cricket, and then I want a review show of like all the big things rolled into one. So what we're going to do today is I don't have any guests, because actually I felt like the last few weeks have been so rushed as far as just trying to cram a whole bunch of stuff in. I'd like to just discuss a few things with you, take a bit of time on it. So one of the big things is football for the rest of the year. So there is still, like I said, some decent sport on the go this year. We still, you know, not totally in a holiday just yet as far as looking out for results. The English Premier League is probably the big deal still to go right now. We've also got the FIFA Club World Cup. Sorry, does that make any sense? Club World Cup. Yeah, fair enough. I think that's what it's called. Because Sundowns are going to that. So Sundowns have had to like really cram in some PSL games of late. So they can go and take a little brief sabbatical from the 8th until the 18th of December. Does the FIFA World Club Cup competition take place. So that we'll get more information about that. There's interesting F1 results. News. Yeah, the season may have finished, but the biggest news from the whole year broke on Friday. So they can get into that. There's obviously the PSL action. And then just a recap of what happened this last weekend. So much in the Premier League. So much. And what I've got is for you is basically just looking at the top four and how the rest of the year goes. You know, in England, there's a real big deal about what the music chart number one is going to be by Christmas. Well, let's have a look at what's going to be the big number one as far as what team is going to be there at the end of the year. I know this doesn't always mean who goes on to win it, but with the top four being as competitive and, well, star-studded as they are this year, I think we get a fair indication if you're going to be leading this thing at the middle point, which is essentially end of the year, then, well, you could be stating a huge claim as far as getting into that title race. Leicester, of course, they're not going to come near defending it. They're on the latter stages now, the lower stage of the bottom of the log, which is unfortunate, especially seeing as they're doing so bloody well in Europe. But, you know, you can't win them all. And in Leicester's case, they won once. So that is pretty much what the show is going to be today. We've also got lots of golf to recap on. Huge weekend. Tiger's big return. What does that mean for the rest of the golfing world? Is this a case of, well, he's back now, we must now look for him being a champion again? Well, you know my views on Tiger. If you've been reading my blog, if you've been listening to the show any given stage, or of course listening to the morning sport on the Gareth Cliff Show right here on cliffcentral.com, then you'll know that my thoughts on Tiger are very much like, it's great that he's back. I love what the guy has done for golf. He's really changed the sport, but he is spent. I don't see him winning another major. People will keep giving lip service to this, but I still don't see it happening. And look, I don't need to be vindicated on this whatsoever. I don't need to be proven right. And if anything, I'd actually love to see him win a major. Of course I would, like anyone would.
But this weekend kind of showed that I don't think he's quite got that ability anymore to do it. So, seeing as just me in the studio with you today, feel free to chat to me on Twitter at Follow the Bounce if you are listening live. And if you're listening on podcast, chat to me anyway. We can always bring up a topic later down the road. But a little bit something different today. I'm going to play, seeing as we are in December, I'm going to play a little song just to get us into the start of the show today. It is the latest one from Justice. It's called Fire. Big fan of Justice. And they've got that old, that saucy MILF Susan Sarandon in their latest music video. Of course, like everything you hear on the show, I will put it into blog format for you, thebounce.co.za after the show. So after this song, we're going to come back with a whole bunch of sport. Nice catch up, big football feature. Don't go anywhere. Justice with Fire. So another reason why I just kind of take it a bit slow this week with you is that I'm telling you that next year, the show's going to be very different to what it is now. And I appreciate you enjoying the show throughout the year. And I think it's been almost 2 years now, but there's going to be a decent change as of next year. So as much as I am all about the sport, and you know this, you can get me every morning if you want the sport. So the Bounce Show is going to become a lot more sort of male lifestyle orientated. Now, when I say male lifestyle orientated, of course, there's still plenty of space for lady audiences. It's just going to be more about other stuff. You know, it's just like sport's going to probably go down to about 30% of it. But there's so much more interesting things out there. There's more interesting people I want to interview and more content that I want to bring to you. And I feel that there's just some weeks in the year where it's just churning sport for the sake of churning sport, where I'd much rather have just like really good sport for you, really concentrated, and then bring you a whole bunch of other stuff which you'll entertain you and, you know, give you something to look forward to every single Monday. So if you've got any other additional ideas or things you feel I should be putting onto the show in future, well, I'm all ears. You know, this show is it's more about you than it is about me. I'm just facilitating things, so I'm looking to facilitate a lot more different stuff. And in doing so, create a better show. Ben@thebalance.co.za. Email me at any stage if you want to get anything across. And I'll be sure to listen to it and consider it. Because that's what this Clip Central platform is all about. It's about great conversations, great content, unrestricted, and just all around bloody good. Right. Okay. God, I'm sharing so much with you today. Right. Pardon my heavy breathing. I just had a very big coffee and I had to run to the studio because I was running a bit late. Let's just get into the weekend sport just very quickly. There was a hell of a lot on the go there, starting with rugby. Those Blitzboks. How about these guys? There's just something so incredible about this team when you think that they don't have a lot of money, but it's like they just have all the resources they need, and boy, do they know what to do with them. So they've always been pretty handy in Dubai. And this time around, well, they're just so good. If you look at the results of how they went about winning this title, they got through their pool. Their toughest game was against America. They got a 19-17 win over there. Then they absolutely thrashed New Zealand 14-0 in the sevens match. 14-0. Incredible. Then they beat Wales, who had a very good tournament by their standards. They beat them in the semis 36-5. And then into the finals, well, it was SA 26, Fiji 14.
Cecil Africa, wide ball to the flyer. Ciobello Sinatla stepping, handing it off now.
Ciobello Sinatla scored 11 tries this weekend. 11 tries. The guy was recently named IOB Sevens Player of the Year, and jeepers, can he turn it on? 11 tries, and they played, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games.
Scored a mountain of tries this weekend, but the offload, and well, this man.
Just such dynamic play. Just try to get the highlights of this. So again, I'll send a link on the blog post after this. But these guys were just so electric the whole way through this tournament.
That's in the past. Now, South Africa.
One of my greatest ever live sporting moments was 2 years ago. I was in Dubai to watch the Sevens, and SA beat Australia in the final there that day. Such a great vibe. It's one of those great Sevens tournaments because there's nothing else but the Sevens. You literally are in the middle of the desert, and you see a sign that just says the Sevens, an actual national signpost. The stadium doesn't have a name, nothing like that. There's no roads of names. It's just the Sevens Stadium. So Fiji, of course, were the huge team last year. They won the World Championship. They were the best. They went into the Olympics as favorites. Obviously, they won the gold medal. They've come to be against Great Britain in the end. But wow, what a start this for the Blitzboks. Eh? So they go and they win this one, which means now into Cape Town, which is the next leg, which will be this weekend here in South Africa. They are the defending champs, and on the back of what they did in the weekend, just huge favorites again. So when you look at this team, and people, if you know, like, whoever doesn't know rugby too much, you think, well, why are we so good in sevens? Why are we so crap in 15s? Well, this just goes to show how the structures of SA rugby are so horribly rotten and counterproductive, and that in sevens you get a bunch of very dynamic athletes. Put them all together, get a decent coach and a lot of inspiration and desire, and you've got absolute world beaters. Whereas in the 15-man game, you got rotten structures, you got people taking hand-me-downs all over the place, you got horrible internal politics, you got coaches who aren't qualified, and then you get this mess which South Africa is in right now in the 15-man game. But let's not dwell on that. Hey? Let's give the Blitzboks their big moment here, because that is what exactly this is. This is their big moment. They did us so proud of the weekend. And to see things over on Twitter when these guys won, it's like, oh my gosh, people now are excited about rugby, even if it's just for one day.
It sits up, does it? Yes, it does! They won't stop! Frankie Sinatla!
Okay, the commentator was having a nightmare there, trying to call him Frankie something or other. But that's it, Blitzbox champions. Another big result from the rugby over the weekend was England. Now, people have been saying, like, England, you know, they get to play all these easy teams in the Northern Hemisphere, blah, 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 blah. But they're a bloody good side. And the only side in 2016 to be unbeaten. They won 13 out of 13, which actually gives them a better result than the New Zealanders, who, of course, lost to Ireland. And the English team were pushed really hard in the first half against Australia. I think it was 16-13, the halftime break. But one team in it in the second half, they powered ahead. And this is what these really good teams do. They, you know, they can suck the opposition in, And, well, nothing really comes up from there. Australia could just manage the 5 points in the second half, a try by Kepu. But 37-21, that is comprehensive. I know there's a late intercept try for England, which kind of flattered the scoreline there. But 37-21, that's England done and dusted for the year. They are, well, the second best ranked team, but like I said, unbeaten throughout the year. So that is now 14 on the trot, okay? So after the World Cup, where they couldn't do anything, they couldn't even get out of their group, they beat Uruguay in a match. They changed coaches, and hey presto, they got 14 in a row. So another five from here. They set a new world record for most consecutive wins. They play five matches in the Six Nations coming up now, with that fifth one being in Dublin against Ireland. This is going to be such an amazing story for 2017 to look out for rugby-wise. And, you know, who would actually begrudge them doing so? We all know they've had good structures in place for quite a while now. Again, they've got the ability. It's very professional, is rugby in England. And I think they've actually got the most licensed rugby players in the whole world per country. Yeah, who would have thought, huh? That's England. They've got a football-mad country. They've got a whole bunch of useless youth that do nothing. And yet they've still got all these amazing rugby players. So that they're most. So that's going to be a big draw card to look out to. And then once they do that, then they're going to group up into the Lions and then go take on New Zealand. So really amazing rugby year 2017 coming up. Over the weekend, there was a whole bunch of cricket as well. Well, I wouldn't say a whole bunch. There was that T20 challenge. And I'm sorry, I can't follow that. Not because they haven't got a sponsor. It's just because, like, it's such hit and miss skilled-wise. I mean, I know Kevin Peterson's playing, Karen Pollard's playing, but some of the players are actually fat. If you notice, with that Cobras team in particular, there was that Richard Levy. I mean, when did he become so pious? He's a proper sturdy mess, that guy. Then there's that Freiland guy. He's also pretty handy with knife and fork. And then there's Kleinfeld. I mean, it's just everywhere you look. Like I said yesterday on Twitter, it's like one of the few sports you can be a professional sportsman in while being fat is domestic cricket here in this country. Look, I don't know. I mean, the guys are still scoring runs. They're still amazing cricketers. Let's not shortchange them on that. But into actual cricket, there was Australia versus New Zealand over the weekend in the Hadle-Chapley Trophy. So that's basically the two of them going at it to celebrate two legends of their respective games. Australia did bloody well. They scored 324 for 8. And with that, Steve Smith got the highest score by an Australian at the SCG, 164. Wow, that is incredible. And New Zealand, well, they made a pretty decent fist of it early on. Guptill got 100, but then they were all rolled out for 256. So Australia win that first one by 68 runs. And it's now into tomorrow, Tuesday, will be the second ODI, and this is a three-match series. So if Australia can win the game tomorrow, they'll wrap up the series. Speaking of wrapping up the series, India are 2-0 up with two tests to go. So they can't lose the series. And you got to think that England they've had to replace Hamid, who broke his finger. They've got a new South African guy in there for that. And then Ansari, I think, he's also gone. So they've got to replace two players. And very much in the back foot is India. Well, you know, you go play cricket in India, you're going to get snared into their web and spun into this loom of just cricketing death, and that's about it for you. So don't look for any big results there other than the fact that India are going to win. Golf over the weekend, the Australian PGA Championship, Harold Varner III. Now, you may not have known who this guy was prior to this weekend, but you must get onto Twitter and find him. He's quite entertaining. And what a big win that is, huh? Big breakout win. So the European Tour, essentially, the new season started this last weekend. It started concurrently between the Alpha Daniel Championship and the Australian PGA Championship. So Harold Varner picked up the first title there because of the time zone. And then Brandon Stone followed him in with Alpha Daniel Championship success. He was 22 under par for those four rounds. He started 2016 by winning the SA Open at Glendower. Of course, he is like young, huh? He's like early 20s, like really early 20s. He was at the same college setup as Jordan Spieth. He obviously was in the same, basically the same team as Jordan Spieth. There was a year difference between the two of them. He then saw Jordan Spieth turn pro and suddenly become like this multi-bajillionaire. And he thought, well, screw it, this college system, I'm going to turn pro as well. And look, he had a bit of a slower start, obviously. You know, if you go from this college system, you don't exactly get a straight away in the big tours in America. And so he had to come and cut his teeth locally. He won the Lion of Africa Cape Town Open, and then he won the SA Open, and now this Alpha Daniel Championship that is absolutely gigantic. I think he's got, in the time it took Rory McIlroy to win two European Tour titles, he's done it in just over a third of the time. which is amazing, seeing as Rory McIlroy is so incredible. And then sort of what overshadowed everything in the golfing world this year, this weekend, was the Hero World Challenge, where Tiger Woods, look, he was more than decent on his return. He had the most birdies out of anyone in the field over the weekend. But unfortunately, Tiger being Tiger, he leaked a little bit off the tee here and there. They're particularly bad at the par fives, actually. He had some untimely double bogeys. Ended up finishing 15th out of the 18-man field towards the end. Actually 17, because Justin Rose pulled out with a back injury. But Hideki Matsuyama, getting back to the real story for the weekend golf-wise, Hideki Matsuyama has won four of his last five starts. He's the only male professional golfer this year to have won five tournaments. Let that all sink in, because this guy's 24, okay? Now, his game is it's pretty amazing. He has been a bit shaky with the putter. Maybe just a little bit of pressure gets to him, maybe mentally, being such a young guy. But now, all of a sudden, we saw it at the WGC in China. The dude won by seven shots, and it's like one of the best fields assembled in golf. He won by seven. He had a seven-shot lead going into yesterday's final round. Ended up only winning by two. Didn't have a good round. Henrik Stenson did have a good round chasing him. But Hideki Matsuyama, if you're going to look to bet in the majors next year, and I think Hideki Matsuyama himself might actually give something to this President's Cup team, because internationals always take a dicking there. But you got a guy, if he can just somehow maintain this form, because, I mean, this form right now is kind of worthless in that he's nowhere near a major to kind of capitalize on it. But still, the belief that he's going to get out of this, four PGA Tour wins now for him on the US Tour. What a player, what an absolute superstar. We've got a whole bunch of football to go. This is a big feature for today. So getting into that, I just want to play you the latest from Steve Compella. Now, if you don't know who Steve Compella is, well, you've got to get into the PSL purely in the back of this. He is the head coach of Kaizer Chiefs. Kaizer Chiefs, who went down 3-1 to Chipper United over the weekend. So let's get into the football section with just the latest from one Steven Compella, who is... Oh, well, it's just so entertaining.
What's your analysis of that match?
First half, I thought we were okay, up until we conceded similar goals. I mean, the goals we conceded today were just the same. And for whatever reason, one, you don't have to explain, just own up. And like they always say, victory has many fathers. And a loss is an orphan. So I'll own up and take this one. It's on my shoulders, and it's part of responsibility of leadership and being a coach. So you have to take it. I thought we defended poorly. We could have done better. And just similar balls coming from our left, and we considered like that. Just have to take it and move on.
Did you feel there were enough chances for your side to have buried this game even before Chipper came back?
But what difference would it make, Julia? You can mention as many as you can. You can cite all excuses. It counts for nothing. Take this thing on your chest, on your chin, and that's how it is. There's nothing I can do about it. Pointing at those chances and all those won't change the outcome of the match. Just own up and take it, and it's part of our job as coaches.
You are very frustrated on the touchline. Is it because you could feel that Chipper were dominating too much?
Not really. There were instances where I felt certain decisions would have gone in a more balanced way, but I had a feeling like we're losing too many of any 50-50 situations. We're not giving maybe opportunities. We had no advantage. And sometimes it gets into you, under your skin. But I think I have to be stronger than that.
Speaking of being strong, coach, we've seen after the match now a lot of unhappy fans, and I'm sure a lot of unhappy people at home as well. What is your message to the Kaizer Chiefs fans?
If you have no power, what message can you pass on? Just have to move on, gather strength, and if you don't have enough strength, pray harder.
All right, thank you, coach, so much, and hard luck today.
What you must do is go online and just try to find a Steve Compella clips. I mean, victory has many fathers and defeat is the orphan. This dude, he's absolute solid gold. Everyone thinks he's an absolute nutcase, of course. There's so many memes around it. It's like he's just, when in doubt, nothing to say. He just used heavily convoluted sentences and massively long-winded paragraphs of nothingness. This dude's gold, but tell you what, his team isn't. Kaizer Chiefs losing over the weekend to Chipper. They were 1-0 up as well. This sort of makes it kind of more frustrating for the fans. And ever since that lost, the loss away to Derby, where they drew 0-0 with Pirates, you know, prior to that, they looked like they might be scoring some goals. I know it wasn't a huge kind of improvement from where they've been, because last year they really battled to score goals as well. but now they really are plateauing and now actually just capitulating as well. So hopefully no more orphans of defeat for Kaizer Chiefs if you're a fan of theirs. But, well, on the other side of the table, there is a lot going on at the top. So just looking at the Premier League log right now, Cape Town City, they beat Wits over the weekend on Friday night 3-2. Okay, so they're currently, they've played 12. They're on 24 points. SuperSport United had a very frustrating draw over the weekend where the chances of picking up points were there. They've played 12. They're on 21 points. Wits with two games in hand, okay, so they've played 10 and they've got 20 points. So it's a very, very top heavy kind of like packed as far as competitiveness between those top three. If Wits just gets 6 points from their remaining, from the next two games, they go to 26. They'll be on the same amount of games, technically speaking, as Cape Town City and SuperSport United, which will return them to the top. Now, Orlando Pirates, again, just disappointing. Disappointing there. You can only handle a 2-2 draw with Highlands Park, which is the, well, worst team right now. Sundowns, however, okay, so they've played 8 matches. So that's 4 less than the table toppers right now. So 4 less matches, and they are 8 points behind. Okay, so they're on 16 points. Now, they beat Free State Stars 4-1. Big result, and you just know it's a matter of time until these guys get parity with the top teams, because once they get that gap away, they're just too good. I know they lost to Ajax Cape Town last week, but Ajax Cape Town now on a 3-game winning streak. These guys couldn't win the attention of their mothers earlier a few weeks ago, but now they've gone 3 in a row. They beat Golden Arrows 1-0 over the weekend. So they're kind of easing the way off from the bottom. It'd be a shame to ever see these guys get relegated, because there was so much intent that went into creating Ajax Cape Town as far as being, you know, obviously the feeder system for Ajax Amsterdam, and to see a team like this languishing at the bottom of the PSL, it's not good. So I think everyone, if you know, I don't believe in the whole second team theory, but I think if you are neutral, you want to see these guys doing all right. Just look at the other results. Polokwane City, they left very late against Platinum Stars. Platinum Stars also having a bit of a torrid run of things, so they went down 3-2 there. Orlando Pirates, as I said, 2-2. Marysburg United, they beat Barocco 1-0, which is very good. And then Bloem Celtic, like I said, very, very frustrating for SuperSport United. No points there. Or sorry, just the 1 point. No goals, though. So, where does this leave us? Well, I suppose we can't really get too much into the rest of the season, or sorry, the rest of the month, because, well, Sundowns aren't playing. They go off now to Japan, okay? So they have to play against, it's all very confusing, trying to get fixtures for this. Basically, they're either playing Club America or AFC. No, they're not. They're playing some other qualifier. I'm trying to find fixtures here. I've looked at about 3 different sites. It's all very confusing. Sunday, 11th December at 7:30. I can guarantee this for sure. 7:30 p.m., 11th December, Sundowns will play their first match of the FIFA World Club Cup. Okay. There, got that. Now, this tournament will go on until the 18th of December. So, Sundowns in the first round. All the big teams are kind of then joined thereafter. So, let's rather pick up the PSL when everyone's back and playing full steam ahead. What I do want to pick up, though, is the Premier League. Now, the English Premier League is always just so exciting because of all the drama on and off the pitch. One of the big things that's happening this year is that Jose Mourinho is getting old. I know he's always been grey, but he's looking very, very old. And when you're drawing 4 out of 5 times, go with all the other home draws in the league as well, and then you're dropping points against a team like Everton with a late penalty, well, that all adds up to Jose Mourinho being very sort of, well, nonplussed, I think's the term.
Well, Jose, if we start at the end of the game, what was your thought on the penalty award?
No thoughts.
That clear that you felt it wasn't the penalty?
No thoughts, no comments.
In some ways, does this underline the problem you've had in recent weeks? You've played good football, you've been in control of games, and yet still you can't take the 3 points.
Yeah, correct. Best team on the pitch by far. And a result that doesn't reflect the difference of performances of both teams.
Did you feel that perhaps luck was changing your way? Zlatan, obviously an excellent lob, but the ball could have spun one way, but actually, for you on this occasion, spun into the back of the goal.
Yeah, but Herrera hit the post for the 2-0 and the ball didn't go in.
Just a thought on a decision by the referee in the first half. Marcos Rojo's challenge?
No.
No comment on that either?
No. No comments.
Is there anything you can do, Jose, as a manager, when things go against you in the way they have been in recent weeks? Is it just hard work?
Work, the way we are doing. Playing extremely well, having some amazing performances. For me, Jones and Marcos Rojo players that almost never played for the club in the past 2 years, the way they are performing in 5 consecutive matches, playing as a central defender, both against difficult opponents, against Arsenal, against Lukaku, against top strikers. I'm so happy with some individual performances, but even more happy with the collective performance. Obviously, disappointed with the result because the results are important and we are not getting
it. Is there anything you can do as a manager to change that look?
No, absolutely nothing. The team is playing extremely well.
So Jose's been a bit of a naughty boy of late, okay? So he's been sent to the stands, I think the last 2 games in the league prior to this one. Sorry, there was a League Cup match in there as well. So whenever, now the press know this, right? So they're kind of baiting him to talk about the refs because, yeah, look, this is the thing about high stress in situations like this. You're going to get the highs and the lows of refereeing decisions. So, you know, he spoke about Rojo's two-footed tackle. I mean, come on, that's a red card. But by the letter of the law, he dived in there with both feet going towards the guy. Luckily, he didn't actually make contact. He sort of went under the player. So I think he was lucky to get away with that. Then the penalty towards the end, he doesn't believe Fellaini did anything wrong. Every other Man United fan in the world who hates Fellaini basically said that he cost them the whole match. So he wasn't going to put any comments towards any of those things because he doesn't want any more controversy. But you can just see the guy is seething from all these refereeing calls. So there was 1-1 with Everton, and it literally was like towards the end of the match. Fellaini came on like normal, just like a piece of driftwood. He did nothing, but he did trip up an Everton player in the box, and that was it. 1-1. What are the big games from the weekend, just action-packed wise? Liverpool, away to Bournemouth. They were 3-1 up with about 15 minutes to play. They lost 4-3.
Well, Jürgen, what an extraordinary afternoon. What happened there in the second half?
Yeah, we gave the game away. But Bournemouth was ready to take it, actually. It was, I have to say, first of all, a really deserved win for Bournemouth because they, actually, not a lot in the early part of the game was for Bournemouth that they could get confidence or something. We were really good. We scored 2 goals. Maybe could have scored more. Didn't. That's not a big problem. Second half, I don't know, penalty or not, but obviously I heard a whistle. As our penalty 2-1, but scored and the 3-1, wonderful goal. Are again in rhythm, are again in the flow. Everything is good. Stopped then playing football. Gave the ball easy and simple away. Let them back in the game. So, but again, they came back. They were not down after 3-1. They already knew. They always knew. There's still a moment. And when you, I'm pretty sure you saw it. But after 3-3, Eddie Howe was on fire, and they wanted really to win. Okay, we needed again a little bit help from our side. But how I said, they deserve it, and it's a nice story. Unfortunately, we were part of on the wrong side.
You've taken it very well, but you must be extremely unhappy, though, because your team played so well today for a long time, and you did have a 2-goal lead twice today, and there were so many good things. To end up completely empty-handed must be very annoying.
Yeah, but we are not ice skating. Yeah. So it's not about how it looks, not if it goes together, result. And I know that we can play football, and we did it really well, and that's what I said. For Bournemouth, it was not easy to get confidence in this game, because they tried to press high, they tried to press deep, they tried to do everything, but we were always a little bit quicker, a little earlier there, so we should have decided again. But that's not a problem. It's not really not dreamland where you can say, yeah, okay, each chance needs to be a goal. 2-0 was clear at halftime. Nothing is decided, but of course,
there's something so cool about this Jurgen Klopp, and I know people have been saying it. It's not because of his floppy hair and his spectacles or whatever. He just got a really nice way about looking at things, and this is why I'm more sort of endeared towards Liverpool than ever, just watching this guy. You know, his team has just had a crushing loss. Now, when you 3-1 up against Bournemouth, the points are there for you, okay? 3-1 up with 15 minutes to go. Bring it on. Now, they lost. Like, as simple as that, they've lost. But, you know, it's an attractive team. They scored 35 goals this season. That's more than anyone out there. That's 3 more than Chelsea. It's 2 more than Arsenal. It's 5 more than Man City. So they can definitely score. But the way that their defense just keeps capitulating like this, it's not good. You know, these teams, they always got to sniff. So if you're playing Liverpool and you're behind, you just know you got to keep playing. And there's a very good chance that you can draw level or win come the 90th minute. But Jurgen Klopp, he's on the field. He's congratulating the other team. You know, he's like, wow, that was an amazing story. We sadly weren't on the right side of it. It's just so good to see. Like, other managers would be kicking the change room down, you know, like the doors and the benches or whatever. They'd be throwing bottles around. They'd be just mouthing off at the linesman. Jurgen Klopp, he's bigger than that. You know, he understands his team plays great football, and that's what he's there for. They're just losing moments in the defense, and that's just what's kind of tripping them up. So it is frustrating if you're a Liverpool fan, but just the way that they can score goals is so good to see, and it is so good for the league to know that these guys are back at, right at the top there. So just a quick look at all the other results. Chelsea, oh, they were brilliant. Just 3-1 over Man City away at Man City. So they now extend their lead at the top of the table and extend their winning streak as well. Crystal Palace, too strong for Southampton, 3-0. Spurs hammered Swansea, who are now very much at the foot of the table, 5-0. West Brom 3-1 over Watford. Stoke too strong for Burnley 2-0. Sunderland 2-1 over Leicester. Leicester's woes in the league just continue. Ugh, we all saw it coming. It's not even worth seeing. West Ham United after, well, they frustrated United in the league last week, and then they got hammered by them in the League Cup. And Arsenal, after taking a very disappointing loss for their own in the League Cup, they went over there to the West Ham Stadium and they won 5-1. Alexis Sanchez with a scintillating hat-trick there. There we go. Bournemouth 4-3 over Liverpool in Sunday's match. And then, as I mentioned, the Everton won. Man United won. So let's just look at the rest of the year and how it pans out. So if you just gaze at the log right now, you'll see Chelsea are top. So all the teams have played 14 here. Very organized league. This isn't like the PSL where one team's played 8 and the team have played 13 or 14, whatever. So we've got Chelsea, they've played 14, they're on 34 points. Then we've got Arsenal, they're in second place by themselves because of Liverpool slipping up yesterday. They're on 31 points, okay? Then we've got Liverpool in third on 30 points, tied with Man City, but a better goal difference. So that's your top four. Now, just looking at that, Tottenham are on fifth, they're 3 points back, but they're not quite of the same quality. I mean, they've got 7 wins, whereas the other ones have got 9. And then Chelsea have got 11. So let's just look at the fixtures here. Does it give an understanding of when this year finishes, who's going to be doing what? So the incredible thing about Chelsea is they've got a 3-point gap. And I tell you what, they've got 5 games left this year. And it's very, very believable to see them with 15 points. And I'll tell you why. Sunday the 11th, they host West Brom at 2 o'clock SA time, right? Wednesday the 14th, they've got Sunderland away. Sunderland, not so flash either. Then they've got Crystal Palace away. Now, Crystal Palace also sort of bottom half. They're in 13th at the moment. Then they come home and they play Bournemouth on the 26th, Boxing Day game there. Bournemouth at 5 o'clock. They should win that one as well. And then on the 31st of December, they've got Stoke at home at 5. So if you look at that, that is a pretty good fixture list running into the end of the year, okay? So if they currently on 34 points, let's just add a hypothetical 15 to that, okay? Now that gives us 34 plus 15 equals 49 points. They've got 49 points at the end of the year. These other teams have to really go it just to kind of stay up with them. So looking at second place, Arsenal have 4 games left this year, okay? They take on Stoke at home. Should win that one. Let's give them a hypothetical 3. Everton away is a sticky fixture. They'll play that one midweek, Tuesday the 13th. Let's just say, conservatively say, it's going to be a bit of a draw. Then Sunday the 18th of December, they are away to Man City. I'm going to get draw at best there out of that one. Sunday 18th, Man City versus Arsenal. That's at 6 p.m. SA time. That's going to be, let's just go 1 point. And then last game of the year for them will be Monday 26th. They got West Brom at home. So let's just say they're going to win that one. So 3, 6, 8 points. Now 8 onto 31 and you get 39. So technically speaking, Arsenal could be as much as 10 points behind Chelsea at the end of the year. 10 points, right? Let's have a look at the other ones. Liverpool, they're in third place right now and they're on 30 points. Sunday the 11th of December, they'll play West Ham at home at 6:30. Got to think they could be able to be good enough for that one. Then they travel away to Middlesbrough, who have been quite a frustrating team to play at home. Let's just go, let's give them a win for that one as well. So that's at 9:45 Wednesday the 14th. Then it's the big Merseyside derby, Everton versus Liverpool, hosted by Everton. That's at Monday the 19th at 10 o'clock SA time. I think a draw there is a good result. I mean, this could go either way. It really could. These games are always so tight because they're such big derbies. Derbies generally end in draws. Our Clásico over the weekend, Real Madrid, 90 minutes equalised there against Barcelona, 1-1. Then Tuesday the 27th of December, Liverpool will host Stoke. Stoke aren't that terrible, got to be said. They're pretty handy. Away from home, though, let's just give Liverpool the points there. So that's 3 points from December 27th. Final match of the year for Liverpool is at home to Man City at 7:30. Just scratch that one down to a draw. So 3, 6, 9, 10. That's 11 points onto their 30 points. So they're going to 41 points, okay? So they can leapfrog Arsenal. But still, hypothetically speaking, if they get 3 wins and 2 draws, they get 41 points. They would be a hypothetical 8 points behind Chelsea end of the year. This is all very interesting when you think that when it gets to these top teams, that is a huge gap. And this is a huge gap, even if Liverpool play bloody well for the rest of the season. Sorry, the rest of the year. Man City, what have they got for the rest of December? Well, they've got Saturday the 10th at away to Leicester. Now, Leicester have just been, they've been toilet. League-wise, they just haven't been good. They haven't been able to, you know, just anything close to last year. Obviously, the teams are marking them out of the game now. They know what to expect. And losing Kante, I mean, you'll never know the full value of what that guy did for that team, and everyone just played around him. Then Man City will take on Watford at home, so you got to think that's another win there for them. Then Man City have Arsenal, Sunday the 18th at home. I'm going to put that one down for a draw because it's going to be a tight, tight contest, and Arsenal, oh, well, they're in good form. They could well do what Chelsea just did right now. I mean, Chelsea just beat Man City 3-1 at the Etihad. Monday the 26th, there'll be Hull versus Man City. Got to think Hull being all the way down in 19th, I'm going to put up too much of a fight there. And then Saturday the 31st, as I mentioned, that is the big one. The final big game of the year, 2016, Liverpool at home versus Man City. Going to put that one down to a draw. So they're also going to get 11 points, hypothetically speaking, which will also take them to 41. So if you look at it like that, all those hypothetical results included, and I'll put this all into a blog post for you. The end of the year, we could be looking at this for the English league. It could be 49 points for Chelsea, 41 points for Liverpool, 41 points for Man City, and 39 points for Arsenal. That's the way I see it, hypothetically, for the rest of the year. That is a hell of a gap for Chelsea to kind of have to relinquish. I know it's only, what, 3 wins or 3 games, whatever it may be, but that is a sizable, sizable gap. So good luck to Chelsea to try to get to that. It's all in their hands, really. It really is. So finally, before we finish the show today, we need to get into F1 because the biggest news of the F1 season happened this week. Got a message here from Clint saying, have you made mention of the Max Verstappen versus Mercedes, and Mercedes tweets on Friday? So just to get a background of that, on Friday, Nico Rosberg, well, he just won the world championship, right? Biggest moment of his career. He then came out with this statement.
A big day for me today. I'm getting my World Championship Winners' Trophy here in Vienna. But also another thing is happening, and that is that, it's been an amazing year for me. And since 25 years, since I started racing, my goal and my dream was very, very clear. It was to win the World Championship. And I've achieved that now with your help. So thank you so much for your part of it, your part in it, because you kept me motivated, kept me pushing. But this year, it's been extremely tough as well. I really gave it everything I had. I didn't leave a stone unturned, and I'm not willing to do that again for next year. So I've decided to call it a day, stop racing here. Just following my heart. You just live once. So my heart is telling me to do this, and it just feels completely right. Thank you very much, and I hope you'll have fun memories of the last 3 years. Of all the exciting moments that we shared. And see you somewhere very, very soon. Bye-bye.
He just won the world championship. He's 31 years old. He's got the best car in all of F1. And he decided to, cheers, guys, that's it for me. I'm done. No one really saw this coming. Niki Lauda sure as hell didn't see it. Now he's basically in charge of the Mercedes team there. So Mercedes are in a very strange position. They have the best car, yet they've got one driver. February, this all starts up again. So they're going to need to find someone quick. Before we get into that, though, this whole, why would someone like this just retire? I mean, at the very worst, he's going to be second place next year on the driver standing. He'll get a few wins, no doubt about it. He's about, it's like it's all on the platter for him because he's in this Mercedes team, which is so dominant. But people are saying, there's a lot of speculation around the fact that dealing with Lewis Hamilton as a teammate is near impossible in that there's so much pressure around it. And he said it himself. I mean, he went through so much to get this win. You know, all the different pressure and obviously Lewis Hamilton mouthing off about the fact that, you know, it's been unfair how certain crew members are favoring Nico. There's the race orders. There's all this kind of stuff. And you're dealing with a guy with a huge ego. And obviously, you know, Lewis Hamilton's a superstar. We spoke about this last week. He is all about winning. He could not care about anything other than being the world champion. He sure as hell couldn't care about anyone else who is a driver. When asked about who the replacement could be in the Mercedes team, his words were, "I don't really care." The guy does not give a shit about anything other than his own abilities, which is fine. I mean, that's how you got to be great. You got to be single-minded. So people are saying that, you know, it's just the pressure of having to deal with Lewis Hamilton being in his cap. Now, Rosberg has been dominated by Hamilton since the days of go-karting when they were like 6 and 7 years old. And it obviously had a lot to bear. And the fact that he won the title now away from Lewis, next year will probably be a living hell for him. I reckon Hamilton wouldn't even greet him, wouldn't speak to him. He'll just keep pushing until that title is his. And then he might get some pleasantries out of him. So Rosberg, maybe this is a stroke of genius. You know, we never really know what happens behind the scenes with these things. And he probably just said, well, screw it. This is as good as ever going to be for me. I've got more than enough money. I've had my fix in racing. It's been over 20 years. I mean, these guys start young. Huh? They learn how to drive cars before they can basically run properly. So he's 31. The world's at his feet, I guess. You know, all this money, he can do other things in sport. There's no doubt he can be an F1 correspondent, commentator. Ugh, there's so many different opportunities for these guys. They're made for life. But he's gone. He is gone. So the big question of who on earth is going to take over from him, because all the big teams are basically signed into contracts. Beginning of December, that's it. You're in. You're in for the team. And so Mercedes basically had a bit of an interesting sort of interplay with the Twitter world. So they sent a tweet saying, "We've had a few inquiries this afternoon. We'll get back to you. Thank you for your inquiry." Now, they're referencing an email that a certain driver sent through. Okay. So then, reference please to whom it may concern. And basically, Max Verstappen is saying, my job application is at least the best one you guys have got, isn't it? So he's having a bit of a laugh with Mercedes about the fact that he wants to ride for them, wants to drive for them. Mercedes, obviously, it's all good tongue-in-cheek at the moment. Mercedes AMG F1 from the Twitter account responded to Verstappen's application by saying, "When you put it like that, see you 9 a.m. Monday morning. Bring cake. We like cake." These guys are cool. So Verstappen, he would be great, right? And then after that, he then says, "Who should I pick, guys?" And he's putting his he's got a screenshot of the of the team boss of Mercedes phoning him. Basically, should I take the call or should I not? This is so funny. It goes on again. I'll put this whole thread up for you. You can look through it. But Red Bull are basically saying, "Hands off our drivers. These guys are in contracts. You can't poach them from here." And Red Bull have got a good team. Obviously, Verstappen's such a hot property because he's 19. He got his first win this year. He's an aggressive young driver who really does have a huge potential. And then they've also got Ricciardo as well. So they've got a decent team. Either one of those guys could easily go to Mercedes and be a real force to be reckoned with. But who do you get at this time of year? This is going to be such an interesting sort of off-season story, which is going to evolve brilliantly. And if anything, it's probably the best thing that could happen to F1 right now. The monopoly that Mercedes have over this title is it's a bit boring. It's a bit crazy, I guess. But it's one that they've earned. But now they need to get a second driver in. And again, what's Hamilton going to react like? It's almost like having a cat, and then you decide to bring another cat to your house. There will be huge, huge, huge rivalry, huge sort of aggression, and huge amounts of tension. But hey, this is what the sports needs. Anyway, to wrap it up this week, it's been a nice solo show. Just nice hanging out with you as far as chatting about these things. Sorry, there were more messages, but we've got to get into the rest of this motorsport thing. Just tapping on one quickly. Just Brendan saying the Cobras are an embarrassment. We have to pay money to watch really overweight guys running around. Brendan, I can't argue with that. As I said, the Cape Cobras, they very obviously being incentivized with a fair amount of food. So I found some old clips of Jeremy Clarkson. Now, you're going to love this video when I put it up on the websites. It is Jeremy Clarkson from 1991, but the dude had a massive afro. I mean, I'm talking a big afro, a 90s white afro. dress sense, well, it's Jeremy Clarkson. Because listen to how he used to speak in those days. It was so posh and official and so very British. This is Top Gear from 1991.
This week on Top Gear, I get to realize a schoolboy dream.
But we begin with an apology. Those of you who have tuned in to see a road test of the Bentley Continental will no doubt be disappointed to learn that just 2 days before we were due to film it, somebody turned it into a banana-shaped Bentley. Well, you can take heart for two reasons. First, you're not as disappointed as I am, and second, we've got something just as special.
Isn't it nice that everyone started out really shit in their jobs? Okay, obviously, you'll get the visuals a little bit later, but this is so bad. And then Jeremy gets this Ferrari for a week, and he's wearing high tops and these horrible jeans and this black jacket, which is just atrocious.
I had to drive around in this for a week.
It's like so cheesy bad. It's just, this is one of my favorite things that I've seen all year. Listen to this. This is my best bit.
I'm going to go to a party tonight, and when I'm asked what sort of car I'm running around in at the moment, and I will be, I shall say a Ferrari. And I shall enjoy saying it almost as much as I enjoy driving it.
Is that just like the creepiest thing? Anyway, to Jeremy, to more contemporary times and thankfully less cringe times, here he is talking about South Africa on the Grand Tour, which the first episode was all about South Africa. And of course, when you're looking to do a show in SA and you are a foreigner, well, it's always good to get the crowd going with some Zuma jokes.
But first of all, let me talk you through where we are. It's South Africa. Over there in the distance, you can see Johannesburg. But this place here is called the Cradle of Humankind. Now, it's called that because archaeologists have determined it was on this very...
Sorry, this clip's a bit soft. Bear with me. I'm kind of maxing on everything here. Anyway, you get the idea.
...spot that mankind separated from the ape.
Well, I mean... Be reasonable. You've learnt to put socks on, but other than that...
Listen, I'm trying to be profound here, okay?
Carry on.
I'm trying to be profound because this is ground zero. This is where all of human history began. Anyone who comes here, it's like coming home.
Jeremy!
What?
How long has it taken some of us to evolve from being apes then?
It's taken 2,000,100...
Okay, that's really soft, but if you watch it in your own time...
While the rest of mankind has managed to grasp the concept of arithmetic, the president of South Africa, Jacob Zuma, well, how can I put this? He sort of hasn't. I've got a clip here, show you what I'm on about.
We announced that our membership figures...
Anyway, it's very soft. I don't want you to get strained to hear this. You can go on to thebounce.co.za and you'll get the full blog post of the entire show today. And that's what, kind of where we're going to leave it off. So, like I said, as of next week, we're going to be doing some hard and fast review shows. So we got some nice people to talk to. The panel alone for the cricket one is going to be absolutely amazing. So we got that to look forward to from next week. We're going to do a cricket review show. We're going to do a rugby review show, and then basically all the things in between. And then that will be the year done and dusted. I think 19th, the December the 19th will be the final ever bounce show for the year. And then as of next year, like I said, I'm going to change the show around quite a lot. So if you've got any suggestions of what you want to throw into the new and improved Bounce show, feel free to email me, ben@thebounce.co.za. I'm going to bring in a whole bunch of new contributors, a whole bunch of new interesting people who are doing things in and around sports and just general male lifestyle kind of stuff. I don't like that term, male lifestyle, but you know what I mean. It's going to be along those kind of lines. So thanks for listening this week, and go on to thebounce.co.za. And you can get everything else that we spoke about today, plus all these great clips, the embarrassing ones about Clarkson with his afro, and everything else. Anyway, it's been great chatting with you today. Catch you back next week.
You're listening to The Bounce Show with Byron Karpinski. I'm Hugh Bladen, and it's on clivecentral.com.
It's Clive Central, Blades, and it's Ben Karpinski.
Why didn't you tell me? Ben Karpinski on clivecentral.com.
Clivecentral.com.